So my guess is that most of you, from time to time, maybe daily, listen to the news. Do you? Somebody's already shaking their head. I mean, yeah, nodding and going, oh, yeah. Yesterday, I think it was, my wife said to me, boy, we were riding home from something, and the news was one sad thing after another. And she said, does it have to be this way? That the news is just full of evil and sadness? And no, it doesn't all have to be that way. There is bad news, and then there is good news. Now, you know, amidst all of this bad news and in this push here and there, it's really an interesting thing that a really good word has fallen on hard times. And that good word is the word evangelist. It goes on, it's expanded in its various versions to evangelicals. Evangelicals and evangelists, evangelical gets his name from the word evangelist. And the Greek word is, it's made up of two little words. One that means good, and the second part of it means sent one. So evangelicals and evangelists are people who are sent to get the good word out. The good word out. Again, in our, even in the last 30 years or 40 years or so, increasingly, the word evangelical has been tagged with, well, that's people, that's a voting block. That's what the evangelicals are. And evangelicals, I guess, kind of vote in a particular sort of way. But don't let that pollute a really, really good word. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, do the work of an evangelist. In Acts chapter 21, in Luke's account of the movement of God's people, it says that Philip, well, I remember Philip from Acts chapter 8. Philip was kind of the jogging evangelist. He came up to the Ethiopian eunuch who was making his way back to Ethiopia from a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and Philip ran alongside of him. God said, go talk to that guy. So he's running alongside of Philip, who's riding he's kind of a carriage, probably being carried by someone else. He was a person of means. And Philip ran alongside of him, and he said, what are you reading? And he said, I'm reading from the prophet. And it was actually from Isaiah 53. And in Isaiah 53, it's talking about the suffering servant. And he said, I don't understand what I'm reading. Because Philip had asked him, do you understand what you're reading? No, how can I understand this? Philip got up in the chariot and rode along with him for a while and told him about Jesus, who everybody was talking about back in Jerusalem. But ultimately, he pointed this man to Christ. Philip was referred to as an evangelist. He shared the good news with him. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul uses the word again. And among four different categories of people, he talks about evangelists, along with pastors and teachers. And he says that evangelists equip people to do the work of ministry. That is, to be people who share the good news. Now, you know what is really a really cool, amazing, amazing thing is that if you're a follower of Christ, and if you're an active follower of Christ, if you're listening to Jesus, if you're reading his word and you're asking him to teach you, If you just open, you just say, Lord, I want to know what you want me to know on a day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year basis. I want to know what you want me to know. I don't want to just sit still. I want to know. Then what happens is you become, I mean, and I'm just, my heart swells up with joy and pride, a good pride, just joy, all sorts of joy, that this place disperses all sorts of evangelists week to week. Do you know that? You see, you are sent week after week into neighborhoods, the neighborhoods you live in, the neighborhoods where you shop, the neighborhoods where you rub shoulders with people. And if you know and love Jesus, I know you're taking the word out there. You know, Jasmine read scripture from 1 Peter chapter 3. In verse 15, it says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, so you're always ready to tell people about the hope that is within you. But do this with a sense of, as Johann said, with a sense of reverence and humility before them. Not like you're going out as the Mr. or Miss Know-It-All. You're taking the good news out there. You're going into places I don't go. You're going to schools, you guys, that I'm not in. You're going into places of work. You're going into gyms, and you're going out to ball fields. And you are. Do you realize this? Seriously, God is sending you into all those places. He literally is sending you. Amen? Okay, if you believe that, please say a hearty amen. Don't say it if you don't believe it. God is sending you. He is sending you to take the good news out there. Amen? Okay. I'm trying to be a cheerleader. You know, there's a young woman that came to church this week, and I could point all sorts of people out. We've got a bunch of people that have relocated to a retirement community. It's called Brookdale. It's over on Philadelphia. And a number of our people, I know, are sent ones to Brookdale. Now, not they were sent there by their kids to go live in that retirement community. They were sent by God. I've heard from people this week who spoke with clients, and it just so happened, without being pushy at all, just basically following the lead of the Holy Spirit, spoke with clients about the good news in a very non-pushy sort of way. People that actually pay for their services. Johann just came back. He was doing the work of evangelism. Our students are going into places where they will have the opportunity, when people just interact with them and maybe suggest things to them that parents might be a little panicky about if they knew that their kids were people suggesting those sorts of things. But they're out there to share the good news wherever we are. There's a young woman with us. She's sitting in the back row. Her name is Christian. And her last name is Baptista. Christian, would you please just stand right where you are, and everybody can turn around. I want you to just stay standing here. Christian is from Brazil. And she's here. She's over at Whittier College for a very short time. I think she probably came here because she ran into Luke, right? Luke probably pointed her over here. He's talking to everybody about Christ all the time. Thank you, Christian. But she's from Brazil. She's here to kind of increase her English so she can learn to, back in Brazil or wherever God sends her, to be able to share Christ, not only in Portuguese, but also in English. And she said, well, I brought some of these little things to challenge people. Basically, they're just little one-sheet tracks. And good. Wisdom to Win is this title, pointing people toward Christ and to pay attention to Jesus. Just really simple, forward, attractive layout. This one is being an athlete for Jesus. Being an athlete for Jesus. You know, these young ladies in the back here, who I've seen play volleyball over at Whittier College. Yeah, this would be good to share this. It's just short. It's an easy read, really easy read. You could read this while I'm preaching, but I'm not going to give it to while I'm preaching. Here's a life that pleases God. A life that pleases God. Just if you've got something to share, maybe it's in print, or maybe it just so happens that it's somebody's talking about the horrible, stinking, lousy news and all the tweets and all that stuff, and you just talk about the hope that you have. That this isn't all over. We have a God who sits on the throne. Amen? Of course. This is victory for sure. So we've got these things. So Christiane comes here and she blesses me. She was like an evangelist in my life as she shared the good news, which includes why she's here for this window of time. Next week, we're going to have a guest speaker. No, it's not because I've run out of something to say, but we're going to have a guest speaker, and he's a guy that I meet with every week in a Bible study with Jim Smotherman and Ron Hafer, who's spoken from the pulpit, and then Jack Schwartz from Biola Days, and he led the music program at Biola. But Tyne Hardeman is going to stand up here. He will not look like the epitome of power. He won't. He's 87 years old, and I'm going to have a stool out here. He's 6'3". He's been a basketball player and a coach and a teacher. He actually, at one point in time, was asked to try out for the Lakers when the Lakers were in God's country. Where'd they come from? Minneapolis, Minnesota. Our Minnesota people out here have joined us as well. So, you know, hey, listen, you know, it's Tyne is going to come up here and he's going to talk about the stuff that Jasmine read about this morning and about what I'm going to talk about in just a moment as well. Week after that, we've got a missionary, Jeff Barnison, who works with graduate students. And at about 60 years old, Jeff is lean and mean. He works out with a writing team at Harvard, and he works with graduate students who come for a little tiny window to be part of his life. And we're going to hear from Jeff. And I just want to pick his brain as to how you make the most of every moment. Now, turn in your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. You've got your notes. Hope to move along real fast as I'm going to read verses 2 through 6, Colossians chapter 4. I just love this passage. I really love it. And It reads like this. If you're using the Bible in the rack in front of you, it's page 1167, 1167, page 1167. Paul writes this from the New International Version, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." Ugh, if it's your own Bible, underline this. Devote yourself to prayer. Some will say, continue steadfastly in prayer. Be strong toward prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Or I am in prison, most translations say. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Pray that I may be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Me? Who, me? So that I'll be able to answer everyone? Well, how many graduate degrees am I going to have to be able to know how to answer everyone? And what if I'm shy? Okay, just devote yourself. Let's start there. Devote yourself to prayer. The word is once again composed of two words, but it means to be strong towards something. One translation, I'm trying to think which it is. I think it's the New King James says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Most modern translations say, devote yourselves to prayer. Be devoted to praying. I like this interpretation of the word to be devoted to something. And that is to give your strength to this thing. Give your strength to this thing. You know, our family are Minnesota Vikings fans. Yeah. Who said sorry? A cheesehead just said sorry. That's Susie. I started out a cheesehead fan. Yeah. Susie, before the Vikings came to Minnesota. And, you know, my wife said to me yesterday, we were devoted Vikings fans. She said, I'm washing my Vikings shirt and putting it away for another year. She'd always wear it to the gym if the Vikings won. And she doesn't, not wearing that again until next football season. She gets too much grief. But to be devoted is to give your strength to something. In other words, maybe another way to say it would be to give prayer everything you've got. Don't just wait until you're about ready to fall asleep. Give it everything you've got. Work at prayer. The disciples said to Jesus in Mark chapter 11, Lord, teach us to pray. Maybe it's Luke 11. Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus then prays this model prayer, just basically subject matter to pray about. Jesus then taught them to pray. Lord, if your mindset is, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray for Pastor John. Teach me to pray for Luke. Teach me to pray for our Brookdale community over on Philadelphia. Lord, teach us to teach me to pray for the people in my church who scattered all these different neighborhoods. Teach me to pray for them. Teach me to pray for people like Larry Marlott and Johan, for these young adults. You notice that we've got a whole bunch of young adults that are not here today? They're gone. They went off to a wedding in Utah. You know, Chris and Jackie got married yesterday. I think they got married yesterday. I'm just trusting they did. I didn't read it in the news. But anyway, so Paul just said, devote yourselves to prayer. Just give it everything you've got. And when you're, pray as you're falling asleep, but pray when you're, it's your best moment of the day. Pray. And then he tags this on, but it's not just a tag on. He says, give yourselves to prayer, being with this kind of a mindset, being watchful and thankful. I was thinking, I'm dead serious about this. I was kind of thinking, boy, I sure wish that we had more evangelists in our church. I actually was thinking that a couple days ago. And then I was reminded about hearing about people in this congregation all around here that are going into very, very strategic places, one talking to a neighbor, one after another talking to a neighbor. And just out of the overflow of their lives and their walk with Christ, they're in that place to speak the good news. It is a wonderful thing. And we scatter into those critically important places. So pray for each other. Pray for the evangelist among us. Every single one of you who know Christ are going to your mission field. Today and tomorrow. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Or is that just a bunch of pastoral hype? It's not hype. It's a reality. And God had to essentially rebuke me to say, listen, listen to what is all around you, right here. And my wife then spoke on his behalf, reminding me as well. Paul says in verse 3, he says, and pray for us too. Pray for us. Pray for us. For Paul and his entourage. And where are they when he's writing this? Paul is in prison in Rome. And Paul says, pray for us too. As you devote yourself to prayer, pray for us, me and the guys, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. In prison. You see, Paul was sent. When he met Christ on that road to Damascus, and he was breathing hatred for Christians, and he was going up to Damascus to put Christians in chains and haul them back to Jerusalem to be beaten and executed because they were Christians. And they were Jewish converts to Christ. And Paul was going to haul them back there. And Jesus said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? I've got a job for you. And that is for you. You're going to be a sent one to the Gentiles. And sure enough, that's what he was for the rest of his life. To both Jews and Gentiles. He found Jews in the synagogues, and he found Gentiles who were interested in hearing about Jesus. And he found Gentiles in the military, like the guys that he was chained to 24/7. He found them, and he looked at it like this. I was a sent one from that road to Damascus, and I'll be a sent one until the day they take off my head. But I'm always a sent one. So pray for us. And this is how I'd ask you to pray for us, that I will speak clearly to my jailer, that I'll speak clearly to the people that have got some sort of interest in who God is, who will come to visit me, want audience with me here in prison, no matter whether they're a pagan, outright pagan, or somebody that has a heart that's warm toward God. Just pray for me that the words that I speak and the thoughts of my mind and heart will be acceptable to God, and that they will be the words that he wants me to speak. So pray for me and for open doors, and that I'll declare the mystery of who Christ is. It's like, the word, that word mystery. Paul loves that word, the mystery. It is sometimes translated in our English Bibles as the word secret. Here's the secret to a fulfilled relationship with God. No matter what your former religious background has been. Christiana told me before the service that I said, were you raised in a Christian family? She said, well, not initially. And so she was raised in a different, name brand religion. But she gave her life to Christ and has a passion for sharing Christ with people who speak her language and people for whom their language is still a struggle for her. But she wants to take the good news, whether she's talking to a Christian or somebody who's far from God. To declare, Paul says, to declare the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in prison, that I may speak it with clarity. I love these other words that Paul, it's probably one of those revolutionary passages to me, but it's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. In Ephesians 4:29, and I won't turn your attention, don't turn in your Bibles to it. But in Ephesians 4:29, Paul says, "Let no unwholesome words come out of your mouth." So what do you think of when you think of unwholesome words? Okay, I just told you could have a moment to think about. What do you think about when you think of? I'm telling you, right here in church, to think these words. Go ahead. What are those unwholesome words? Well, now don't think that word. Unwholesome words can come in all sorts of different packages. Maybe one of the most unwholesome words spoken right here from the pulpit is, "You idiot." Oh. Did pastor say that today? Yeah. Unwholesome words. Paul says, "Let no unwholesome words come out of your mouth, but only words that will build the listener up according to that listener's need at that moment." So, very recently, I was stuck in a line. And if you've heard me say it once from the pulpit, you've heard me say it way too many times. I suffer from route anxiety. I just always hate to think that I picked the wrong road. I picked the wrong route. I picked the wrong line. And I found myself stuck in that line. And I didn't feel the freedom to get out of it because I thought as soon as I get out of this line, it's going to go just like that. So I stood in that stinking line for 20 minutes. And there were cash registers and computers that were just they were just a whole line of them with people behind them. And as I always do when I feel like I'm stuck in a line for just a minute, I'm looking around to see who's moving faster than me. And I have to tell you, I kept on thinking of the thing that I wanted to say to that person that was operating that cash register and that computer. I think I was going to be calm. I was just going to say, "You are the slowest person I have ever seen." Then I thought, well, I could say, you're the slowest person with a smile on her face that I've ever seen. But, you know, I honestly and truly, I thought through a lot of things, and I was not thinking about my message today. But it was just like, when Paul said, "Listen, pray for me that I'll declare, that I'll say the words that God wants me to say to wherever I send you." Well, I was sent to that line? Seriously? Now, Johann wants you to come and ask him about, if you want to talk more, go out for soup and ask Johann to hear more. I don't want you to hear any more about my comment. I was nice. I didn't go beyond that point. But I hope I had a moment to think, whatever you say, don't say something that's mean-spirited. Whatever. And I didn't. But I also didn't give her a tract. Paul says in verse 5, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. And Jasmine read words that related to that, and Jasmine prayed according to that. The same sort of thought that Paul had, that Peter had in 1 Peter chapter 3. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, and make the most of every opportunity. Folks, that moment for me came and went last night. I should have said to that young lady, bless you, and meant it. I was just still a little bit in knots as I walked away. And that wasn't good. I was not making the most of every opportunity to just bless her, to just pray for her. Paul said, make the most of every opportunity, because every one of those opportunities will come and go just like that. One of the reasons why I want you to hear from Jeff Barnison, and I'm going to tell Jeff this this coming week, when Jeff is with us, I really want him to share with us, how do you have a ministry when the people that are coming to you are here, they just come and go, come and go, come and go, come and go, just like that. They come to Jeff for 2 years. Man, it would be easy to say, this is not going to be a long-term pastoral relationship. They come and go. How do you make the most of every opportunity? And I hope you'll be, like me, I hope you'll come and take some notes as we listen and glean from Tyne and from Jeff, who are praying that God will give them the wisdom to make the most of every opportunity. Father, thanks for the time you give us. The moments behind us right now, Lord, for these last 40 minutes have come and gone. The last hour and a half, I pray, Lord, that we'd make the most of every opportunity to grow in you, to know you, to cultivate that real relationship that matters for now, and we pray that that moment will matter for eternity. Father, may we each one see that we are sent ones into our various communities and relationships. Humble us, Lord, when we've not handled those moments well. And may we represent Jesus as we move forward in a more complete way. In Jesus' name, amen.